Because last week we did a Chanukah shiur, so I think we're chatur from a Chanukah shiur now. So I was able to gather up some pretty good questions over the course of the past couple of weeks. So I'm gonna share three questions. Really, I have a lot more here, but I'm gonna share three questions, and we'll see which ones you wanna talk about. I gave the title of the shiur after one of the questions, but lav dafka. I don't think anyone's gonna. Okay. So first question was a shaila that I got from someone. Sent me an email as follows. He says, my chavrusa is a JLIC rabbi in a secular college. You familiar with what that is?
Yeah.
The OU has a program where they send rabbis to secular colleges, couples, and they serve as rabbis, and they try to do kiruv and be there to support the front people and to give Torah environment, and they do good work, from what I understand. And he said, his chavrusa is JLIC rabbi in a secular college. He was at a meal with 10 of the guys in the Hillel. One guy feels Jewish, that's the quote, feels Jewish, but really his mother is not Jewish. He knows this, which I think it means he knows his mother is not Jewish, but he's from the conservative and doesn't really know he shouldn't count for a minyan. Okay, so he knows that his mother's not Jewish, but he feels like, because I feel Jewish, I should count for a minyan. So they wanted a bench, and he was the 10th man in the benching. And he knows, it's amazing what sometimes people know and what they don't know. He knows that when there's a minion, you say Elokeinu in the benching. And that when there's no minion, you don't say Elokeinu. But he doesn't know that as a guy, he can't count toward the minion as one of the people. So it's unbelievable that you would know that and not that. It's mind-boggling. But he's going to be deeply insulted when they bench and they don't say Elokeinu. So the JLIC rabbi wanted to know, can they say Elokeinu to so that they don't insult him, so that they don't hurt him, so that they don't hurt his feelings? That was the shaila. So the question I got was from someone who's also a close talmid of Rav Shechter, told me that he asked Rav Shechter, and Rav Shechter gave somewhat of a surprising answer. But that's question number one. Question number two. I have a talmid now in 11th grade whose father Nebuch had a terrible brain injury. He had an accident at work and he suffered a terrible brain injury. And he was out of the home out of his house for months because he was going through surgery and rehab. And he's still going to, now he just came back home. In January he's going to have to go back so they could put back the other half of his skull. His mom is like a pachad. So Baruch Hashem is, he's really progressing nicely and, cognitively, and he's, able to think and whatever. He's still obviously not there yet totally. But he has not yet regained his sense of smell. He can't smell anything yet. And his first Shabbos home, he wants to have as normal a Shabbos as possible. He hasn't had a normal Shabbos since Sukkot, pretty much, since right after Sukkot. So he hasn't had a normal Shabbos, and he hasn't been with his family. He's been in a rehab center somewhere an hour away from home. So he wants to be able to have as normal a Shabbos as possible, which involves him making Kiddush and Amotzi and Abdallah. But he can't smell anything. So he wants to know if he can make Havdalah normally for his family and make the Baruch Bar Mevisam and be Motzi his family, even though he can't smell anything. So that's Shaila number two. That was the title of this year. Something doesn't smell here, something like that? Okay. Shaila number three. This one, I'm trying to remember who asked me this question to remember the details. The story goes as follows. Oh, I remember who asked me. Another rabbi asked me this question. A rabbi in five towns asked me this question. I'll give names to the story to make it work. There's a fellow named Yaakov. Yaakov died 12 years ago. Yaakov was not a very rich man. He had a few boxes, and he had an apartment with some things, nothing of great value. And so his family, as soon as he died, they packed up all of his belongings and in a few boxes, and they sold the apartment, got rid of the apartment, whatever they did. And one of Yaakov's sons, Yosef, took the responsibility for all the boxes, and they were all kept in Yosef's office. So Yosef has an office in Manhattan. He's got all these boxes with Yaakov's stuff, and it's just kept in like a storage room in Yosef's office that Yosef has. And Yosef tells all of his brothers. He tells Reuven, Shimon, Levi, he tells everybody that we should come and divide up daddy's stuff at some point. We should figure it out and divide up our father's stuff. And they say, yeah, we'll get to it. But they all know daddy didn't have anything. He couldn't have two nickels rubbed together. So they're not like so eager, like they're going to find an old book or something. Like, what are they? Okay, so they never got around to it. 12 years later, the boxes are still sitting in Yosef's office. And now Yosef dies. So Menashe and Ephraim come to... first time I said this over to someone, I started with Avram. And they're like, Yishmael, really? so that's where you start. You gotta use your head. Okay, so Menashe and Ephraim, they come to the father's office to clean it out because Mrs. Yosef, very good, Asmas, tells Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, and tells Menashe and Ephraim and everybody, we should come, and tells all the nieces and nephews that there are still boxes from Yaakov, and we needed to write up the Yerusha, the boxes from Yaakov, so everyone. I'm getting rid of Yosef's office. Asnas has no interest in Yosef's office. I'm getting rid of the office. So come and take whatever you find use in, whatever you think is going to be useful for you. Come and take. And they all, some of them come, some don't. Some of the grandchildren come. And they go through the boxes. Oh, is he an old like scarf? I mean, what are they going to find already in these boxes? Like an old sandwich maker? I don't know. This one takes that. This one takes that. Some of them don't take anything. Some take an old book just as a memento because it's their grandfather's sefer. It has his name in it. So they want to have it in their family. Okay, everyone takes... some people take a little something. Some people don't. Not everyone even comes. Not all the grandchildren even come. They're going to cart it all away. They're going to throw whatever they can throw in the garbage and everything else. They're going to put in Sheamus, and they're ready to get rid of it. So Menashe is going through the stuff as they're about to get rid of it the next day, and as he's going through the stuff, he opens up a sefer. Oh, this looks interesting. And an envelope falls out of the sefer, and he opens up the envelope, and inside the envelope there's $7,000 cash. So he thinks, well, everyone got an opportunity to take whatever they want. So this one wanted the scarf, this one wanted the sandwich maker, this one wanted that sefer, and I want the $7,000 cash. So that's what I like cash. So that's what I'm interested in taking. So he wanted to know, is he allowed to keep the $7,000 for himself? Because everyone had a chance. It was about to be thrown away. No one else was going to get it. Had he not opened up that sefer, $7,000 would have gone into Sheamus, would have been buried in the ground. So can he take it, or is this part of a Yerusha that has to be divided, where Reuven gets Pishnayim and has to be divided, he splits his Yerusha. There weren't actually 12 brothers, so it's a little, by the time you're done, it's like it's lunch money, there were actually 12 with all the grandchildren, whatever. But it was a reasonable amount of money to give up on if he has to split it, so he wants to know if he can keep it. So again, three questions are, the JLIC rabbi with saying Elokeinu in the benching, can you say Elokeinu in the benching so you could save face for the guy who thinks he's a Jew who thinks that he should count toward a minion, the guy who can't smell anything because of the brain injury, can you say regular Abdallah, and the case of the $7,000. Any preference of what to... third one first?
The first one
and then the first one, and then the second one. The second one's the one that I named the shear after? That's the least? Okay, so maybe I like the second one. Okay, so maybe we'll do the third one, but you know what? The truth is, yeah, we'll do the third one, and it won't take that long, because I'm not really that equipped to deal with it thoroughly, but I'll tell you what I discovered. The person who asked me the shaila is very close with Rav Mordechai Willig, so he called Rav Mordechai Willig, and Rav Mordechai Willig said, we really have to figure out if this is Zuto Shel Yam. So what does that mean, if this is Zuto Shel Yam? What does Zuto Shel Yam mean? So if something is about to be flooded away, it's about to be swept up in a flood, so at that moment, right before it's about to be swept up in a flood, it's Hefker. And if you take it, it's yours. You're allowed to keep it. So he said, if the fact that they were about to throw it out, they were going to send it away, they were going to put it all in Sheamus, does that make it Zuto Shel Yam? How do we define exactly what's called Zuto Shel Yam? Meaning, Rav Willig wasn't even willing to entertain the possibility that if they find it early in the process, that finders keepers, and we decided that the way we're going to split the Yerusha is that everyone just gets to take whatever you want, and I want the $7,000 cash. No, that's what they decided when they thought there wasn't $7,000 of cash there. Had they known that there was $7,000 of cash there, then they never would have made that agreement. That would be a chalukas Yerusha betaus. The whole chaluk of the Yerusha. You do get to decide how to be chaluk Yerusha, meaning as long as the halacha immediately has, there's like a tfisas habayis on the Yerusha, that as soon as the person dies, it's owned by the the whole Yerusha is owned by the family, but how they're cholik the Yerusha, all of it is owned by everybody. So how they're cholik the Yerusha, how they divide, could be done in any reasonable manner. They could decide, okay, I'll take this, you take that. They could do it begorol. That's how Yerusha is Eretz Yisrael. That's how they did the chalukah of Eretz Yisrael in Sefer Yoshua. They did it two ways. They did it begorol, and they did it with Urim Vetumim. As Rav Sachs always likes to quote the Shittim Gvetzes, and Bab Basra quotes from a Ravid. Why did they need both the Goral and the Urim Vetumim? So Sak Shlita always likes to say Shin Gvetzes quotes from the Ravid, because there's Tzvei Dinim in Chalukas Haaretz. There's a din of Dinim Amanis, that everyone has to get their land that they're gonna own, and then there's a din of Mekadesh of Eretz Yisrael, that in order for Eretz Yisrael to have full Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, each Shevet needs to recognize their Chelek in Eretz Yisrael. Those are two separate dinim. So it makes a lot of sense. They do a Goral, says the Ravid, because that's how you would divide money. Yeah, I don't know, why would I get that part? You get that part, we'll do a girl, we'll do a raffle, and you'll decide. You know, when Marshall, a while ago, I went to California I went to California a little while ago, and we were able to take two of our kids. We couldn't take everyone. So we did a girl. Which kids won? Which kids won? Mm-hmm. How do you decide? Dinim Amnes. So you do a girl. You figure it out. So you do a girl. That's a normal way to divide mom. But to divide a Kedushas Haaretz, so that should be determined by the Urim Vetumim. So that's what the role of the Urim Vetumim was in the Kedushas Haaretz. It happened to be that it matched. That was the kunz, that the girl and the Urim Vetumim actually matched. But that's what it means. Binyamin, in Shevet of Binyamin, the Mizbeach was in Shevet of Binyamin. What does that mean? Binyamin could say, that's my land, everyone else out. No, we can't say that. Of course all Klal Yisrael is allowed by the Mizbeach. No, it means that the full Kedushas Haaretz has Binyamin being makir, that chelek as his. But it's not a dini mamonis issue. It's a din in Kedushas Haaretz. That every Shevet, that's why we don't have Yovel Daraisa yet. Even though I think we've already hit the point, or we're very, very close to hitting the point, where we have Rov Yoshve Aleha. Why do we not have Yovel Daraisa? Why do we not have Yovel at all in Shemitah Daraisa Bizman Hazeh? Because you need Rov Yoshve Aleha in order to have Shemitah Daraisa, in order to have Yovel. And the majority of Jews in the world are not in Eretz Yisrael yet, or haven't been in Eretz Yisrael, but we're really close right now, because the intermarriage rates in Chutz La'aretz are stunningly high. So the next generation of Jews... What? Ah, the Aseret Shvatim. So, good. So they're lost, and presumably... Right, so we don't know what the story is, but the assumption is that you're going to need the Shvatim to have to be makir their chelek in order to have the full Kedushas Haaretz, in order to be able to be knowing. So even if we have rove of the Jews in the world living in Eretz Yisrael, it still may not be enough. You still need to... Okay, but there's way, way, way far afield over here. What are we talking about? Yeah, dividing Yerusha. So the normal way to divide Yerusha would be through deciding. It's a normal thing to say, okay, the Zaydi didn't have so much, so everyone will come and just take a memento. That's what they thought it was. You're taking a memento, something to remember Zaydi by. This one wants to remember Zaydi by his sefer, this one wants to remember by a book, this one wants to remember by a piece of clothing, by a whatever. So everyone will have something to remember Zaydi by. So that's a normal thing to do, but the whole thing is betos. If they were to realize that there's money, the money's not a way to remember Zaydi, the money is money. That's something that they could use. So Rabbi Will wasn't even willing to entertain the possibility that he could just say, oh, I'm going to take the $7,000 for myself. What he was clearing on was Zuto Shalyam. Is this a status of Zuto Shalyam? So that's interesting. Does it take on the status of Zuto Shalyam? So the only discussion I found, a friend of mine pointed me to a sefer that I had on my bookshelf, I just had forgotten about, called Meshiv Bahalacha. I didn't even check who wrote it. Meshiv Bahalacha was written by Rav Yechiel Tauber, Av Bezdin Badat Machon Lohra Mansi. Okay, so it was put out by the Bezdin Mansi. And he had the Shaila a little bit different. That Echad Nika is based on Pesach. A guy cleaned out his house before Pesach, and he threw out all these old things, you know, spring cleaning that people are knowing to do before Pesach, and most of them are worth nothing. And the maid, as she was the housekeeper, as she was throwing things out that they had piled up, accidentally threw out a chavila ketana shayibo dvarim yekarim. She threw out something small that had some very valuable things inside of it. You hear stories like this all the time. That, you know, people, after the wedding, they put the gowns in a garbage bag to bring to the cleaners, and it gets taken out of the garbage, and all the gowns are thrown out. You have stories like this all the time. And then the housekeeper feels so bad, or whatever, okay. Everything was out on the street by the curb for the special pickup to come pick it up. And a half hour before they take out the garbage, before the garbage men come pick it up, Avarsham Adam, a guy walks by. I know where I live. When we leave anything out by the curb, and we call the 239-5600 special pickup, the sanitation, District 5. So we call them up. By the time they get there, someone has it on the back of his truck somewhere. They pick up. Everyone finds a use for things. For your junk, one man's junk is another man's treasure, something like that. So it always gets picked up. So if here a guy's walking by and he's rummaging through the garbage that's not yet picked up. And he opens up this thing and he sees that there's gems and there's something very valuable. So he picks it up and he sees that there's a lot there. So is he allowed to keep it? So the question over there is, what he deals with over here, is this called Zutah Shel Yam? Meaning it was about to be taken away a half hour later. So how are you magdir Zutah Shel Yam? So the Bach in Chosh Mishpat, Sivan Reish Samach Dalin, says that if Shataf Nahar Chamorim, if let's say a river is about to take someone's donkey away, when the Bailum is not there, and there's no one to hire to save it. So you can't say Mef Keru Kazachina Kibo Benishmach HaKad Shel Dvash. You cannot say I'm being Zachar from Hefker, the Bach says, as opposed to if you have honey, a jar of honey that's spilling onto the ground, so then, and you're the only one there to save it, you can save it, and you could say that you're the one to save it. What's the difference? Why is the honey different than the chamor? So the Bach says, Shiny Dvash Shu Nifsad Miyad The dvash is different because it's going to be immediately. It's going to be immediate that it's going to be gone. You're the only chance to save that dvash, and therefore it's hefker immediately. But a chamor that's drowning, that any number of people could come save it. Even though right now you're the only one that sees it there, if you don't save it, it's going to get lost, it's going to get destroyed. That's not like any other aveda. What does he mean? What do you mean? And by the dvash, if anyone, it's not like it takes magical powers to save dvash, no? Anyone could save it. You're just the only one there. So what's pshat? So he says over here in the Sefer Meshav Halacha that the pshat in the Bach is that he says Bir Dvarav Dahadvash Asher Tovad Prat Lemishu Avuda Mikol Adam Hadrash, the drash that we make Asher Tovad Prat Lemishu Avuda Mikol Adam Hainu Afal Pishazadam Prati Yachal Atzilo Mikol Makom Mashez Yachal Atzilo Rak Derech Mikre Shua Madcha. He thinks if the fact that you're able to save it is just because you happen to be the guy that's standing there, that's not considered Zutah Shel Yam. He says that is Nechshav Kedavra Avad. That's considered like it's lost. As opposed to Masha'en Kein Dover Shaharbe Anosh Michal Natsilo. Kivan She'enu Nevad Miyad Bizman Katzer. But if a lot of people would be able to save it, because it's not immediate, it's not going to happen at this moment. He says what the Bach is really distinguishing, the Devash is already spilling, is being lost at this moment. Whereas the Chamor, it's going to take a half hour till it drowns. It'll take a little while. So since it's going to take a little while, and in that little while, anyone else could come, theoretically, and pass by. So in that little while, someone else could pass by. Therefore, it's not called Zutah Shel Yam. So what's the window of Zutah Shel Yam? It has to be mamish take of a miyad. Only then it's considered Zutah Shel Yam. Now, there is discussion in the Rishonim that there may be other hagdaros of Zutah Shel Yam. In the Sefer over here, he quotes the Darkei Moshe in Osvav, quotes from a Mordechai, by a Dleika Shenafla Be'ir. There's a fire in a city, and the fire is jumping from place to place, and a bunch of people ran away because they're afraid that the fire is going to, you know, they sometimes evacuate an entire area. You hear about these fires in California where it's dry and it's just like spreading like wildfire. That's why they call it that. And it says, so they evacuate the entire area. So people run away. And a guy goes and he loots. You know, someone says, I'm not going to run away. I'm going to go into all the houses and take whatever's about to be, whatever would be burnt by the fire. And I'll hope that I'll get away. So that I'll save myself. And he saves something. So the Rama says over there, Ein Tzarech L'Hachzir. Because since everyone ran away from the city, they were already in the Siyayish from it. And Mefkeru Kazachina. So that sounds like that even though it's not immediate, that if as long as everyone else was ready Miyayish on it, that would be the gather. So a big difference between the Bach and what the Darkei Moshe says. That because everyone in Lechora was Miyayish, the grandchildren were finished coming over here.
But when you run away from your house, you know what's in your house. You know what you're leaving.
Very good. So that's the chiluk, I think. And that's the chiluk that he makes. That when you run away from your house, you know exactly what was in your house, and you're miyayish on that because it's a yeish midas. So you know exactly what you're being miyayish on. This isn't even yeish shalom midas, meaning it's something you never even knew that you had in the first place. So it was never something that you had the opportunity to take. You had the opportunity to make yours. So the whole thing was betalus. So he, so I would think in this case, I asked Rav Shechter what he thought. He thought in this case it's a davar pashut, that it's not zutu shalyam. It's a regular Yerusha. You got to go back to Reuven, give him Pishnayim, and divide the rest. Shimon Levi Yehuda each get a portion, and Yosef's portion could be divided between Menashe and Ephraim, with Menashe getting Pishnayim. Right? You would have to divide it based on regular Dina Yerusha.
But we could give Menashe something
For a Takaras HaShavim, maybe you'd want to give Menashe something. I hear. Shechter didn't think it was necessary. Right, he could have pocketed it and no one would know. He could have put it in, right? He could have taken it and no one would know. But he's being an honest person. I don't know. He didn't think, he thought that it should just be divided with regular Yerusha. Okay, that's the one I'm not really so equipped to deal with anyway. So let's go to the next question. What was the other question? The next one you wanted to do? You wanted to do the one with Kavod HaBrios, right? With the, give it away. With the guy who thinks he's Jewish and isn't really Jewish, or he thinks he should count for a minion, even though he knows that he's not Jewish. So what I was intrigued by was that the person who sent me this email, Jonas Steinmetz, who's Rabbi Kamenetsky's son-in-law, some of you probably know him. He's a close Talmud of Rabbi Tversky and Rabbi Shechter. So every time he has a question, he asks Rabbi Tversky and Rabbi Shechter. So he said that we asked Rabbeinu when he talks to me is Rabbi Shechter. So he said, we asked Rabbeinu if my friend was supposed to stop this from happening or let it go and not embarrass the boy. Rabbeinu paskin that he should let it go because Kavod HaBrios is Doched Rabbanan. Wow, I was pretty taken aback by that. He said, say Elokeinu. Wait, so what's he assuming? He's assuming two things. First of all, he's assuming, no, what are the two things he's assuming? That Kavod HaBrios applies to Goyim also. And that saying Elokeinu in the context of benching is only in the Sidra Banan. I mean, the halacha that Kavod HaBrios is Doched Rabbanan maskim. Everyone will be maskim that. That's a Gemara, the Sugi and Brachos, Yates, Chaf, around there. The Gemara says that Kavod HaBrios is Doched Losa Sein in the Torah. And then the Gemara says, just kidding, not really Losa Sein in the Torah, Losa Sein Mid Rabbanan. Or Losa Sein B'Shevi Torah B'Shevi Al Tase. It doesn't really say just kidding, that's just my way of saying it. But Losa Sein B'Shevi Torah B'Shevi Al Tase. So, but this Kumbase, this saying El Kenu, so it would only be Doched Losa Sein Mid Rabbanan. Kavod HaBrios would be Doched Losa Sein Mid Rabbanan. The example the Gemara gives, you find shatnis pashuk, so two girsos in that Gemara, whether you find the shatnis on yourself, bibigdo, or you find it on somebody else, what the situation is exactly over there. So if it's shatnis daraisa, the Gemara says, since wearing shatnis is a continuously active, the Gemara assumes that that's not called sheva al tase, it's a continuously active thing that you're being nana from shatnis and wearing shatnis, even though you're out in public, you need to remove your clothing, bashuk, to save yourself from nisa daraisa. I once had this shayla actually happen. Did I ever tell you guys? I had this shayla actually happen. One of the rebbeim in DRS told me his wife was in shul on Simchas Torah, and the rebbetzin of the shul comes over to her and says, "It's such a beautiful dress you're wearing. Did you buy it at, Lord and Taylor? They sell dresses." No. So they buy Lord and Taylor. I know they have suits because I have a suit from them. They buy it at Lord and Taylor. So she said, yes. So the Rebbe in the shul says, you may want to get that checked for shatness because I bought the same dress and it had shatness. So what the Rebbe just told her is, you're wearing shatness. So here she is, bashuk, and she discovered that she's wearing shatness. Mamish, the sugi in the Gemara. So what do you do? So if it's just purely a Kavod HaBrios issue, and it's shatness daraisa, it's a very tricky thing. How do you do it? For a woman especially, it would be a very tricky thing. So you'd have to navigate the situation. Chances are, any shatness that we find, and most of the time, shatness drabanan. So probably she could assume that it was probably shatness drabanan, at least till she gets home. And then once she gets home, you don't have a Kavod HaBrios issue, then she should change out of it, or go home right away and try to change out of it.
She should go home right away then?
Yeah, I don't think she should continue to wear it. Because you need shot top of your nose in order for it to be daraisa. You need it to be the threads of the wool and the linen are twined together. In order for it to be shatnas daraisa, that you probably don't have. You probably don't really have that in the
Gemara.
Yeah, and that is it rises beyond Kavod HaBrios, right? That there's an issue of lifnei iver, you know, and her tznius and whatever. Okay. And also it's just like taking away, it's an extreme kavod abriyah situation. That machlokes Rambam Rush, whether it's talking about you find it on your own bag or you find someone else's baguette, that's the Nodbi Yehuda in his famous tshuva in Madura Kama Simon Lamed Hey, fleshes out that machlokes very beautifully. That was the famous tshuva of the Nodbi Yehuda where the yeshiva bachar, when I say it, you'll be like, ah, that Nodbi Yehuda, where the yeshiva bachar was living with a family. It used to be that you had Essen Tug, where you'd be put up by a family in the neighborhood. They didn't have dormitories in the yeshivas, certainly not apartments like you have, but that they'd just be put up by families in the neighborhood. So this guy was was put up by his family, and they were very good to him, they were very nice to him, and he was so nice to them, he was even engaged to their daughter now. And now he just had this one little problem, that he was having an affair with the mother of the family for the last 3 years. So he wanted to know, does he have to tell his future father-in-law, you might be usher to your wife because she's been sleeping with me for 3 years. So that's like an uncomfortable conversation to have with the father-in-law. So he wanted to know, is kavod abriyah still chalos seh shabbat Torah, that yeah, it's going to be a violation of halos seh every time he's with his wife, but it's kavod abriyah, so it's very embarrassing to go. But he wasn't just asking about his own kavod abriyah. So can you imagine the scandal, you know, in the community? This was a respected family. It's going to be kavod abriyah to the whole mishpacha. It's not a good way to start the marriage. So he asked whether he has to tell. So that's another view. And then he asked, how do I do tshuva? So it's a fascinating tshuva. So the first half of the tshuva, another view goes through the Rambam, the Rush, whether it's called Shevi Altas over here. Why would it be Shevi Altas over here?
Not telling.
It's Shevi Altas. Why would it be called Kumvasei? Because the Aveira is done with Kumvasei. So it's Mamish Tali in how you read the Gemara. Is Shevi Altas, is it Matzah Klein Bibigdo? Bibigdo, in which case that would be when it's kumvasei, right? Meaning you're continuously wearing it. But if it's bebeged acher, you find it on someone else's beged. So if you say you have to take it off on someone else's beged, post off filu b'shuk from the other guy, that means that we define that as kumvasei because the aveira is being done to kumvasei. But if you say no, if it's on the other guy, I can let it go. That's because me letting it go is shevi al tase. I'm not doing anything. I'm not going to say anything to him. So it's totally in those two gears. That's what the Nodav Yehuda says. A fascinating tshuva, the Nodav Yehuda. And then the other half of the tshuva is, how do I do tshuva for it? And the guy says, go easy on me with the fasting and the beating myself up because I'm a shvach yeshiva bachar and I can't handle so much fasting and beating myself up. So, you know, because I'm so much amelus in my Torah that I'm not able to handle it. So the Nodav Yehuda said to him, fasting, I'm not going to give you fasting. He said, because even if you were to fast kishnos misushalach, if you were to fast for as many years as Mr. Shalach lived, you still wouldn't come close to Tshuvas HaMishkal, to fasting what you would need to fast if you were to do Tshuvas HaMishkal. He says, how about let's do like the Charata, Kabbalah La'asid, you know, let's try not to do this anymore. Let's try to be Misake in our personality a little bit. Okay, but what does this have to do? So that's Kavod Abriyos. Kavod Abriyos is Docha Lo Seh Shabbat Torah. Everyone agrees Kavod Abriyos is Docha Drabbanon. But Rav Shaptan is making two assumptions. He's making an assumption that there is Kavod Abriyos by Gaim, and he's making an assumption that this is Nisr Drabbanon. So let's deal with the second assumption first because it's the easier one to deal with. It's major machlokas Rishonim, whether Brach Levatala is Nisr Daraisa or Nisr Drabbanon. What do you mean, Machlokas Rishonim? It says Losisa, you're not allowed to say Hashem's name in vain. How could that possibly be a Nisr Drabbanon? Isn't that exactly saying Hashem's name in vain? No, Machlokas Rishonim. Why? What does it mean to say Hashem's name in vain? You just walk around saying Hashem, Hashem, Hashem. You know, you're just saying Hashem's name for no reason, totally out of context. That's saying Hashem's name in vain. What's a Brach Levatala? Brach Levatala is you're saying a meaningful statement about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam HaMotzi Lechem Min HaAretz. All true. It's all true. That whole statement is true. I happen to not be eating bread right now, but that whole statement is totally true. That's not saying Hashem's name in vain, according to a large group of Rishonim. According to the Balei Tosfos, a significant group of Rishonim, that's not a Nisr D'oraisa. That would only be Nisr D'rabbanan. Shitas Rambam, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, unless I'm confusing it, I think Shitas Rambam is that is a Nisr D'oraisa. That it is, that a Brach Levatala is also a Nisr D'oraisa. So since Rov Rishonim holds its Nisr D'rabbanan, it's safe to assume that Rav Shachter's assumption is based on Rov Rishonim, even Rav Vadya says that Rov Rishonim say it's Drabban, and Rav Vadya, if there's a Rov, Rav Vadya knows about it, he's counted. So that the Ruba of the Rishonim say it's Nisr Drabban, so you can assume that it's Nisr Drabban. Good, that part of the Cheshbon I think is pretty clear. The other part of the Cheshbon is a little bit more difficult to deal with, because this is a bracha that Baruch Elokeinu Shachal Mishalom makes sense. You know, you're saying words that make sense, that are a bracha. It's part of the extended benching that you do when you have the mezuman. So I think that makes sense, that it's part of a bracha. What about the other part? Kavod HaBrios for a guy. Is there such a dim kavod HaBrios for a guy? So it's not explicit. It's not explicit anywhere. Jonah told me that when he asked Rav Tversky, Rav Tversky said that the Yisra of Albanas Panim, the Rambam says, that when the Rambam defines the Yisra of Albanas Panim, it's Shalol Levayish Ktsasenu Es Ktsasenu. He has such a lashon. Some of us shouldn't be Mevayish, others of us. That implies of us, not outside of us. That there wouldn't be an Yisra of Gayim. However, if you look at the Lashon of the Rambam, when he talks about Kavod HaBrios, when he talks about embarrassing other people, so the Rambam, Kol Eilu HaDvarim, Lefi Masha Yira HaDayin, Shazorai Lekach V'Shashat Tzvicha, V'Kol Yumayis V'Lashem Shemayim, V'Al Yeh Kavod HaBrios Kal Be'inav. Don't treat Kavod HaBrios lightly. Sharei hu doche es lo sase shel devrayim. It's doche el lo sase midrabanan. V'kol shekein kavod b'nei Avram Yitzchak v'Yakov hamachzikin b'toras emes sheyeh zoyer shelo yaharis kvodam. That's what the Rambam say. Be careful about kavod HaBrios. And kal v'chomer kavod of b'nei Avram Yitzchak v'Yakov. So what does that tell you? That kavod HaBrios l'chor applies to Gaim. Right, Kal v'chomer covered Avram Yitzchak Shkala, and he goes on to say that Lahosif covered a makom b'vad. You should be interested in covered a makom. Fine, that's Ram Hilchos Sanhedrin Perek Chav Dalet Halacha Yud.
I could think of another objection.
Yeah.
I'll stick with the idiom, because I demand there are some girls there who know about as much as this guy knows, but they think. But they heard once by someone who they have less and more than this one. This one they trust more over whoever told them the truth about them. Good.
Let's talk about that in a second. Good. So just touching on the Kavod HaBrios issue itself. My brother pointed out to me that he found online somewhere Rav Aaron Lichtenstein has a shiur on Kavod HaBrios. And Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, when he talks about Kavod HaBrios, he takes as a davar pashut that it applies to Goyim as well. He says, "Ha'im adubar gam al Goyim arak al Yehudim midiver ramim shevein leel mashma shekavod HaBrios shayich af legabe Goyim." The shayich Goyim. What do you do? Ktsasenu es ktsasenu with that Rambam. So I don't think it's a kasha at all. I think there's a difference between albanas panim and Kavod HaBrios. Those are two different concepts. Kavod HaBrios is dochelos shabbatar. It's not yarig val yavar. Albanas panim is yarig val yavar. Those are very different things. Halbanas panim is what you do to somebody else. Kavod HaBrios is even your own dignity. Where do we use the concept of Kavod HaBrios? Tzitz Eliezer is a tshuva, whether you're not supposed to take medicine on Shabbos, gzeir shem yitchon, that you might be tochin. It's a gzeir mishem tochin. So but it's nisud rabbanan. So Tzitz Eliezer says, allergy medicine? Kavod HaBrios tochel seisha b'torah. Because you're going to be all puffy and your eye, you're going to be running, your nose is running, and it's embarrassing. Kavod HaBrios, is that Halbanas Panim? It's not Halbanas Panim. It's Kavod HaBrios. It's a totally different issue. I don't think they're the same at all. Halbanas Panim, the Balei HaTosos say, Tosos in Maseches Sota and Davyud and the Rabbeinu Yonah and Shari Tshuva strongly imply Halbanas Panim, or they say explicitly, Halbanas Panim is Yahar Gal Yavar. If someone holds a gun to your head and says, embarrass that person or I'm going to kill you. So the halacha is, according to the Balei HaTosos and Rabbeinu Yonah, they have to say, okay, kill me, because I will not embarrass that person publicly. Which is an amazing chiddush. That's always the question. When you have some Rishonim that speak about a topic, and no other Rishonim talk about it, but the Rishonim that talk about it say what you would not expect. So what do you assume about all the other Rishonim that don't talk about it? Meaning, Tosar and Vinyona deal with the Kasha. It's a Gemara and Sota. The Gemara says that Yehuda and Tamar, that Tamar was such a great tzaddikas that we learned from her that it's better for a person to throw themselves into a fire than burn someone than embarrass someone else publicly, because Tamar could have said this stuff belongs to Yehuda, but she didn't say that. She said the guy who owns this stuff, he's the one. She didn't say who it belongs to. So she was risking her life. She could have been thrown into the fire. Ah, we see from there you better be killed than to embarrass someone publicly. So says Tosas, really? La halacha? Is that Avad Zor Gilray Shechzam Halbanas Panim? Tosas says, yeah, la halacha. Halbanas Panim just isn't typically mentioned on the list because it's not mafurish in the Torah. And Rabbi Yonah says it's an abizrayu of Shechzam. So it's part of Shechzam. No one else talks about it. So what do we understand? What do we assume the Rambam and Rashi and the Rashba and the Ritva, what do we assume they hold? So some say, you look in the Achronim, they say different things. Some of the Achronim say, well, we assume that if the only Rishonim that talk about it say that it's Yarek Val Yavar, so La Halach Lamaisi, Yarek Val Yavar, so the Bidin Zion Baskins, Halach Lamaisi, Yarek Val Yavar. And others say, no, the other Rishonim will say, it's an Agadita, like every other Agadita. You know, the Gemara says that Kol HaKoveis is Kilu Avir Avod Zara. So does that mean, I like to give this example because it's interesting, someone comes over to you and holds a gun to your head and says, get angry or I'm going to kill you. So you have to say, I'm going to remain totally calm. I will not get angry. Because you get angry, you heard Val Yavar? No, the Gemara means on some level it's like that. But it doesn't mean lemaisa, lemaisa, lemaisa. Yeah, with the fire, he went in and his feet were burning and his wife's feet weren't burning. Some of Zion. Or he was a very big tzaddik. Or he wasn't going to die, he was just going
to
burn his feet.
Then he shouldn't have to.
Or,
yeah, he's saying he wasn't going to die.
He wasn't dying, his feet were burning.
But the Gemara brings a riot that Kol HaMalvin is going to have a mutav. She asked him, he keeps her nash. Ali Alvin is going to have a mutav.
The Gemara mentions it over there also, right, by Marukva. It does, it does.
So, then,
right.
If it's not allowed, it shouldn't be allowed.
Right, right. It shouldn't be permissible unless it's... Right, Kiddush Hashem, Merchul Hashem, yeah, interesting. Yeah, so that's, okay, some of the Achronim assume that it's La Halacha, they say it's not really a statement of Halacha. He's already got it to Gemara, it's hard to end the Medim Divrei Agadah. Yeah, maybe he thought that his feet wouldn't burn, you know, he's Melumet Benisim. The Gemara says you're not allowed to rely on Nisim. I think we discussed once. You're not allowed to rely on Nisim, but Leah was allowed to daven that the baby changed from a boy to a girl. For Dina, why was she allowed to do it? She was Melumet Benisim. She was Leah. So we're not allowed to daven for such things, but she is. Some people are Melumet Benisim, maybe could rely on them. It turns out it wasn't an ace done for him, but it was done for his wife. So, you know, all's well that ends well. And it worked out. I don't know. It depends what was going on in the furnace.
Well, the point is, his wife wasn't hurt at all, and he was hurt only a little bit.
So that was that. That's how the Rishonim learned over there. That he was experiencing an ace also.
If his feet were supposed to get burned, then it wouldn't have like been any lesson.
No, the lesson would have been that his wife was zochet to an ace. That's why I always understood the Gemara that he wasn't zochet to an ace at that moment. Maybe you're right. Maybe that he was zochet to an ace. Yeah. Maybe you're right. I don't know. Okay, so Kavod HaBrios, I don't think it's the same thing as Malm Techaver Brahm, is what I'm trying to say. And I think Kavod HaBrios, Docha Lo Seisha B'Torah, Docha, certainly a Drabanan, is something that we can apply. However, and even if you say Kavod HaBrios applies to Goyim, it's still not 100% clear to me that if Kavod HaBrios applies to Goyim, that it would also be the Kavod HaBrios of a Goy is the same thing as Kavod HaBrios of a Jew. I mean, it could be that there are madrigas of Kavod HaBrios, that one needs to be makbid about the Kavod HaBrios of a guy, you need to be sensitive to the Kavod HaBrios of a guy, but not necessarily. I don't know if there's a clear raya that it's docha an iser. Kavod HaBrios of a guy rises to the level where it's docha an iser. So Rav Shechter took it for a davar pashut that it does. That if it's Kavod HaBrios, Kavod HaBrios. So, you know, if it includes guyim, it includes guyim on the same level that will include Jews. But over here you also have an additional point, which I think is what you were making over here, that it's not just the Kavod HaBrios issue. There's also the issue of, do you want this guy thinking he counts toward a minion? So now he's going to walk into shul and say, yeah, don't worry, I'm good. I'm Jewish, I count toward a minion.
Well, a guy will see it, and as much as he's not this nagging, thereby he'll be over, it's a device of those cutting.
Right, yeah. You don't want, it's not healthy to have someone who's not a Jew believe that they're a Jew. For any number of reasons.
Believe,
right, right, right. For any number of reasons. So I don't know, I was very hesitant about that. I'm batal daiti. Rav Shachter thought they could say it. They're still waiting to mention, they're waiting for our call. So, yeah.
Is that a chiddush to say that there's a difference? Why would you say that there might be a difference? Aren't you going to write to say that there is a difference coming between joining and not joining?
In general, mitzvahs penon lechavero apply to Jews and not to non-Jews. So I think the kavod brios falls under penon lechavero. So even though it's tzelem elokim that you have to show some dignity to tzelem elokim, I don't know. I would think it's mistaver that it's not quite the same.
Where does it come from? Where is the kavod brios?
I assume it just comes from the fact that a human being is tzelem elokim. I assume so. So I don't know. Yeah, everyone has a tzelem elokim, but I would think that that the way you treat a Jew, I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe again, probably not. Yeah, Shachter agrees with you. We have, I guess, just the last few minutes. Just to, am I allowed to go a few more minutes? I mean, we started. I don't know when we actually started. Okay, so a few more minutes on the last shayla. The guy who can't smell the besamim. So what's the halacha? So what's this talay on? What's the issue over here? If can he make the bracha on besamim when he can't smell? What? Can you be mostly someone else in a bracha that you're not being yotzei? So what's the rule for birchas mitzvah? You can. For birchas ananin, you want to eat an apple. Can I make the bar priya eitz for you? No. You can't. What's a birchas areach? Besamim is birchas areach. What's a birchas areach? Pashas is birchas ananin, right? That's what you would imagine. What? Oh, but in this context, maybe it's different. Why would it be different in this context? It's part of Havdalah. So as part of the Havdalah procedure, maybe it takes on a new status as part of the Havdalah procedure. Not only that, is it so possible that someone who can't smell can't say Barim Yevesam? Meaning, is there something about smell that maybe is a little different than food?
Yeah. After the next operation, are you able to smell again?
The hope is that even before the operation, that it will, that his sense of smell will ultimately return.
How likely is it that even after the operation, it'll come back?
It may come back. I mean, you're saying that he's a bar chiyuva in the bracha because
if it's more likely that's going to happen that he's going to regain that sense of smell, then maybe I'm afraid.
It's hard to say. Like we just say that you're going to be able to eat in 6 months from now, so you can say bar priyats at an apple now. Meaning birch sarech is birch sananin. Typically, we Ashkenazim are we always say bar minei v'samin. But there's like a whole set of that's like the shakal nebedvar of birch sarech. There's like a whole set of brachos that you say for birch sarech, and Sfardim like are careful about it, right? Yeah. So it's a regular birch sanen that people would say. So the tour quotes from Rabbeinu Ephraim in Simon Reish Design that someone who can't smell and makes a brach on b'sam is a brach of vatala, and he can't even be motzi b'nei beisav, and he says it's not like kiddush and avdala, and it's not like hamotzi, which is a chova, because hamotzi on Shabbos is a chova. So hamotzi, kiddush, avdala, he could be motzi b'nei beisav, even though he's not going to eat at all, but not the besamim. So the Beis Yosef over there writes that, wait a second, he says, the Torah himself goes on to say, after he quotes Rabbeinu Ephraim, that lo nihire, he says, I don't think it's correct, when you're eating, you're allowed to, you don't have to eat, you're allowed to cut up food for everyone in your family, cut up pieces of bread for everyone in your family, and you made the bracha, and that's fine. There's no chov over there. So the Torah says, I disagree, I think you're allowed to say bar minei v'sam, even though you can't smell anything. Says Beis Yosef, so is that Kashan Rabbeinu Ephraim? He says, not a Kashan Rabbeinu Ephraim. When the Gemara says that you're allowed to cut up pieces of bread and give to everyone else, even though you're not eating, that's Bnei Beiso HaKetanim. That's if there are children. And Ketanim, you're Chayv and Chinuch of Ketanim. So to be, you're allowed to be Motzi them because you have a Chiv to be Mechanech them in the Bracha. So you could say the Bracha for them. But Bnei Beiso HaGedolim, you can't do. Anyone who's over Bar Mitzvah, you can't do. So news, where does that leave us? With Bar Minei V'Samim.
Are there kids in this
family? Oh, so are there kids there? So if there are kids there, he's got the chinuch, he's got to say the bracha for them, and then he could say the bracha, then it will be fine. If there are no kids, he can't. So that's what I assumed. Now he has some kids that are over Bar Mitzvah, and some kids that are, I think he has some kids that are under, that are under Bar Bas Mitzvah. So l'chore, he should be allowed to say the Bar Minei V'Samim, be mostly those kids. The older kids, Mishabura says explicitly, the older kids cannot be Yotzei. cannot be yotze with that bracha, because that's not a real bracha, klape them. It's not just Mishnah Berurah that says that, it's some other post, some earlier post can say that. They cannot be yotze, because that's
What?
Let's assume he didn't go to shul. He can't. He just suffered a terrible brain injury.
No, I think the kid.
The older kids will make their own bar mitzvah son. They're allowed to make their own bar mitzvah son. Now, the Mishnah Berurah comments that he doesn't like the Chassidus Sheminig. He doesn't call it the Chassidus Sheminig, but it's a Chassidus Sheminig. He doesn't like the minig that people, everyone makes their own bar mitzvah son. I think Chassidim do like this. That everyone makes, they do by everything. By Hamotzi, even on Lechem Mishnah, which is very shver, because it's not Hamotzi on Lechem Mishnah anymore by the time they make the Hamotzi. By Chassidim, the wife will still be in the kitchen, the husband will say the Hamotzi on the Lechem Mishnah. And she'll come in and she'll have a piece of challah on her plate and she'll say, Ron, I'm Otzi, I need it. I remember Rabbi Shai Shech who told me the first time he ever went to Rav Asher Weiss's house for a Shabbos, he saw that happen. And he was like, what is going on over here? He's not Makbaran Lecha Mishnah, what kind of guy is this? And he called his father, he's like, what's going on? So I was like, he's a chassid, it's okay, that's what chassidim do. That's a chassid shemitah. So the Mishnah Berurah says, why does Mishnah Berurah not like that everyone makes their own bracha barim nev samim? Bravam Hadras Melech. He calls two reasons, but one of them is Bravam Hadras Melech. If you could have one person, so this is the halacha l'maisa. You go to someone's house, they invite you for a meal, and they always offer you, would you like to make your own kiddush? So what's the right answer? You know what you normally say. You know, some people say, you know, well, what do you have to drink? Whatever you normally say. But what's the right answer? La halacha. So Mishnah Berurah says the right answer la halacha is Bravam Hadras Melech. I'd rather not make my own kiddush. I'd rather be yotze with you. Now, it could get a little tricky. Let's say they make Kiddush on Schnapps, and you hold that, like the halacha, not like the Chassidish Minog, you hold like the simple reading of the halacha, that you can't make Kiddush on Schnapps, you have to make Kiddush on wine. So, okay, so then maybe Taka would want to make your own Kiddush. Okay, maybe. But strictly speaking, if they're praying to the same God, and they're going to make a normal Kiddush, Rav Amadras Melch. I think the Sfasemis says not that way, and the Chassidim assume not that way. They say, Mitzvah bo, yosem mi b'shlucho. Better for you to do it yourself, rather than have someone else do it. It's an unusual application of Mitzvah bo, yosem mi b'shlucho. There's no shlichus over here. It's not shlichus, it's shomea ka'one. It's a different din than shlichus. So I don't know, do we say Mitzvah bo, yosem mi b'shomea ka'one? Better to read the Megillah yourself rather than hear someone read the Megillah?
They think, have your own Bracha Megillah on me.
What?
They think, is it the movie to have your own Bracha Megillah?
So to read from your own Megillah, maybe, yeah.
While listening to the, yeah.
So I thought I was ready to go over here. To be motzi the katan is perfectly fine. So for the katanim it's good, and for the gedolim let them say their own barim nev samim, and that would be perfectly fine. So I asked Rav Shachter yesterday, I had the opportunity to talk to him yesterday, and he said, no. This, as we went through the sources, katanim, blah, blah, you know, each of the stages in the rishonim. So he said, you know, so the maskana is. So I'm like, so he can say it. And he said, as I'm saying, so he can say it. He's saying, so he cannot say it. How did you get there? He said, well, why is he allowed to say it for the katanim? Because he has to be mechanich them. That's the only way to be mechanich them. Because he's the only one to be mechanich. But if he could have one of the older boys just say the Avdol for them, so then yesh beres. you have another option. Yeah, so he could be mechanich them by having one of the other boys saying the Avdol. So he said that you shouldn't be allowed to say it in that situation. He said that when he was bachur, I asked Aaron Lichtenstein before he was married, when he was a bachur, what do you do about the Gemara in Pesachim Nun Dalet? Because the Gemara in Pesachim Nun Dalet tells us that Rebbe was Mefazran means when he saw an or, he would be Mevarich on the or right away. And when they brought him Besam, he would make a Brach on Besam right away. And then it says that Afal Pish Rebbe Mefazran, Choser Vesodron Al Kos, he would say them again, all these brachas again, ala kos. How is he allowed to say it ala kos? K'day lehotzi, b'adav b'nei beso. To be motzi all the people in his house. So he said, he asked Rav Lichtenstein years ago, how is he allowed to do that? He already was yotze. How could he say it again to be motzi b'adav b'nei beso? So Rav Lichtenstein, he said he didn't remember what Rav Lichtenstein answered. But we found yesterday, the Chazon Ish asked the same question. And the Chazon Ish says, That which Rebbe was mefazron, Chazon Ish says that's banav haketanim. He must have been lotzi banav bnei beis. So the haketanim was midin chinuch that he was able to be motzi.
Wait, are you allowed to action avos?
What?
Is that the only cake? And I can make cake again for someone else.
you can make Kiddush again, because that's a mitzvah. But over here, it's just a Birch Sananin. So for Birch Sananin, probably we don't say the same.
Just to tie the two questions together a little bit, the father really wants to have a normal life. You know, he got hurt, but he still wants to have a normal life. Have Shabbos like normal, like Hallel like normal. Now his kid comes and tells him, no, you're not allowed to make the bracha. You get into the cover of Rios issue, and it's bracha l'tal.
Right. So what I told them is, it's only the bar mitzvah we shouldn't make.
Right.
Okay. It's not going to be that devastating to him to say the rest of Havdalah and just not let him say the rest of Havdalah. He'll get to bar mitzvah summon, and someone else will say bar mitzvah summon out loud, and be motzi everyone else in bar mitzvah summon. I didn't think that was a problem. It's a question whether him saying bar mitzvah summon is a hefsik in his kiddush also, in his Havdalah rather. Rabbi Kiveger says, if you're not chayiv in one of the brachas, so that bracha, saying that bracha, is going to be a hafsik in the Havdalah. So it might be a hafsik in the Havdalah itself, so that could be a problem.
Is it considered a hafsik if you know that if it's going from back on its own? I'm just saying, because before, what I meant was, if the only way is to get a sense of spell back, is both for the operation, I would say not at all, until after the operation, because on his own he can't do it. But if it's going to come back eventually, I'd say maybe just wait till it starts to come back, and then...
Yeah, but I mean, he's got to make Havdalah tonight. He's not going to wait till it comes back to say Havdalah. But just one more...
If it come back, and even before the operation, he would be able to do that, he didn't start saying it.
Yeah, but he wants to have a normal thing now. One last thing. There are Rishonim, Beis Yosef quotes from Rishonim that say that even if you can't smell, you can say Barim Nevesamim because it's Machzik the Guf. There's something about aroma that even if you can't tell that it's there, it gives Chizik to the Guf or whatever. I don't know if you could prove this medically. I suspect not. But there's some Rishonim that say, and some of the Achronim, more Kabbalistically oriented Achronim, also say a similar idea that something about the reyach, right? So something about the reyach that when you smell something, that it's that the neshama feels it, that even mazalei feels it, you know, your mazel feels it, or something that maybe it's not a brachal vatala. But we try to stick with the halacha. So I told this guy he could say the avdala, but have the children, one of the children, when the children was over bar mitzvah, to say the bar mitzvah. Take questions after. I just don't want to hold everyone back. I feel bad going over time.
Okay, so.